Welcome back, friends. Today and for the next few episodes, Mike and I will have the privilege of looking at Proverbs 10. So you might... Welcome back, friends. So yes, let's go to Scobie and then we'll can come back with our own. So Scobie rightly points out that a fool in scripture is never a mentally deficient person. That's not what scripture is talking about, but rather one who is arrogant and self-sufficient, one who orders his life as if there was no God. So for an illustration, we have Luke 12:16-20. The rich man was not mentally deficient. I mean, he had a surplus of produce he was putting into his barn. But he was called a fool by our Lord because he was giving no thought to his eternal well-being. Note the presupposition that Scobie has there. He's using a fundamental understanding of the reading of Scripture, which is that it is the same author, really, that writes all of it. And that author is the Holy Spirit, so that he's able to take a part of scripture, Luke, written 1,000 years removed, and apply that illustration of fool back to the words of Solomon, which we, you know, as a way of saying in the royal kingdom of around 1000 BC. So, that there was a theological presupposition going on when Scobie did that, and it is the correct one. The Holy Spirit is the primary author. All right, so we have some definitions. We see what is considered righteous. From verse 4, we have one who is diligent. From verse 6, one who is just. From verse 10, one who boldly reproves. And then perhaps for some of us, that might be a harder thing this day and age, boldly reproving. But that's part of being righteous. Verse 12, love. And verse 14, knowledge. So we're having a contra between righteousness and wickedness. So to see what the Lord, and Solomon defines as wickedness, we see verse 4, slack. And there's some of that vocabulary that we may not pick up with other versions. Slack meaning idleness. Verse 8, a prating fool. Verse 10, winketh with the eye. There's your, if you will, the poetry you mentioned, you know. Verse 12, hatred. And verse 18, lying lips and slander. And there are 32 more verses. So this is by no means exhaustive. You can go and you can pick up, you know, more of this
right
definition. But I think we're starting to see what scripture calls righteous and wickedness.
Absolutely. I like in one of the differences in the ESV, rather than prating, they say babbling.
Yes.
And
yes.
I like the idea of just a babbling fool.
That's right. That's right. So then, so we had the seeds. So that would be these sorts of behaviors. So what are some of the consequences of a righteous behavior? What would be our expected harvest? In verse 1, gladdening a father's heart. So it's telling the parents, if you go to the effort to instruct your child, and it does take effort. I was recently in an event, and I'm sorry to say, how few children had received a Christian education. because it takes a lot to provide that for those children. And that's very sad. The consequences were sad and the decision making there. So scriptures, if you will, he's trying to encourage the father and the mother, saying, right, the mother's, it's mother, if you don't instruct your children, you're going to have a very heavy heart later. And fathers, you will have a happy heart, a gladdened heart, if you do put the effort in. So he's trying to encourage that. Verse 2, there are treasures that deliver from death, both a physical avoidance of sinful and destructive behaviors. So often our problems and troubles and others is our own fault. You know, it's just a consequence of our own bad choices. But not only do we avoid that in a natural sense, there is the view to eternal health and salvation also offered. So it's, if you will, you get something here, a life that makes more sense, and you also can look forward to eternal salvation. Verse 16, labor for the righteous tends to life. Or verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. And again, you're back to, if for no other reason, you're avoiding behaviors that would shorten life.
There's already enough difficulty and strife that comes just by way of natural events that we don't have to add to it by living wickedly.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay, for the wickedness who are foolish, and we were called in, that's not talking about mental acuity. You're talking about someone who's wicked. There's verse 1, heaviness of heart for the mother. Verse 2, your treasures are going to profit nothing because you're going to be eaten up. I know one man who's made some wicked decisions, and he's eaten up with revengeful rage. And it's unfortunate, given his position, because a lot of people suffer as a consequence of that. He's not, you know, his treasures have proffered him nothing. Verse 3, thwarts cravings, yes. Verse 16, fruit is sin. And verse 27, years of the wicked shall be shortened. Yes, they will have a shorter life. You don't see right off thwarts cravings.
Well, it's the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked.
And which verse is that?
Verse 3.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's interesting wording. Because
yeah.
I guess in that was the ESV version I just read. In it says in King James, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked.
Ah, thank and you. That's what I did. I slipped back in to look at it to get a sense.
Yeah.
Yes. Very good. Yes.
Yes. So it's lost substance is the... I think could be the term of wickedness, I guess, for to live wickedly, you'll lose your substance.
Yes. Yes. Right. That's right. Verse 4 struck me. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And that's generally true. And don't employers look for employees these days who are just diligent?
Right.
You know, show up and do the job. Or verse 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins.
Yeah, I love that verse.
Very nice. And then there was that one. Yes, 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For lack of sense, right?
True. My people perish for lack of knowledge.
Right.
That's right. Okay, friends. Let us end this here, and we'll pick up with exhortation on the other side. Till then, my friends, fides erratio.